Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Welcome once again to The Commentary series on the Way of Perfection by St. Teresa of Avila. This is day six, and I'm Father Timothy Reed from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm happy to be with you again today as we look at one of the great spiritual classics of our Catholic faith. Now today, we're going to look at chapters 10, 11, and 12. So let's dive right in. In the last podcast, we talked about the importance of detachment, which is the topic that St. Teresa continues here in chapter 10. And in this chapter, she talks about detachment from self and how closely it is allied with the virtue of humility. Now, in paragraph 1, Teresa gives a warning to her nuns. Just because they live in Carmel doesn't mean that they've done all that there is to do with regard to detachment. Indeed, she tells her nuns not to feel too secure, for the biggest obstacle we must contend with in learning detachment is ourselves. As she says on page 59, our natures are always the same, and unless we use the greatest care, and each one of us makes it her most urgent business constantly to cross her self-will, many things will keep us from the holy liberty of spirit which we seek, in order that our souls may rise to their Creator unimpeded by any earthly leaden weight. Now, to combat this, we must remember the vanity of all things, of how quickly things can pass away, and we must fix our affections on what is eternal. St. Teresa counsels that whenever we find ourselves attached to any earthly thing, we must turn our thoughts from it and fix our thoughts on God. And this is where the virtue of humility becomes essential. Humility is a sister virtue to detachment. Teresa says they always seem to accompany each other, and that Christ dearly loved these two sovereign virtues. In fact, these two virtues have the power to take away all fear, except the fear of offending God, the fear of the Lord, which is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, strange as it sounds, the person who possesses these two virtues does not recognize that he possesses them. Teresa says these virtues hide themselves from their owner's sight, and yet, as she says on page 60, he esteems them so highly that he is always striving to gain them, and thus grows more perfect in them. In paragraph 4, St. Teresa tells us that by cultivating these two virtues, we will escape from the land of Egypt, which is a metaphor for enslavement to our passions. She says that we will find manna, meaning that with these two virtues, we will find true nourishment and fulfillment. But this requires that we cease loving our bodies. St. Teresa reminds the nuns that they came to St. Joseph's to die for Christ, and thus they must beware of temptations from the devil to take care of themselves so that they may observe the rule. So in her humorous way, Teresa writes, such nuns are so exceedingly anxious to preserve their health so that they may be able to obey the rule that they die without ever having observed it for a month or perhaps even for a single day. She tells her nuns not to fear failing in discretion when it comes to the austerities of their lives. So, Teresa wants her nuns simply to embrace their rule and the austerities of their lives with integrity. rather than looking for excuses to avoid full observance of the rule out of some vain concern for bodily health. The point for us to consider with this chapter is how we take on penances, especially corporal ones. Are we willing to make our bodies suffer so that we can grow in detachment? Now, is it possible for us to take on penances so rigorous that we injure ourselves? Well, of course. And if you have responsibility for caring for others, and your penances are making you fail in your duties, well, then of course, you should moderate your penances. And as one priest told me in the seminary, don't be too quick to give up sleep as a penance if you're going to be a diocesan priest, because so many people are depending on you, and you need your sleep to fulfill your duties. And yet I have to ask, how many of us really take on so many corporal penances that we actually injure ourselves? My best advice here is to be a bit rigorous with yourself when it comes to bodily penances, especially during Lent. And ask for some direction from a trusted confessor or spiritual director if you fear you're overdoing it or if you sense you're falling into pride. Teresa's point here with her sisters is to be courageous and not to fall prey to the temptations of the devil to relax one's penances out of a misplaced fear of harming one's health. We have to be hard on ourselves if we're going to make progress. And in this, Teresa is the exact opposite of what we hear today in our world, that we have to take care of ourselves, pamper ourselves, and give ourselves every luxury. Now, the theme of chapter 11 is simply, don't complain. Now, this is a brief chapter in which Teresa continues her discussion of detachment by speaking of how to handle sickness. She starts off the chapter by saying, to be continually bewailing our slight ailments appears to me, sisters, to be a very great imperfection. Her point to her nuns is that if they're really sick, that's going to be apparent to others. And then they can bring it up and take the necessary remedies for their illness. But if you just have a sniffle or something equally insignificant, then don't trouble the other nuns with it. Her concern here is to teach her nuns how to gain mastery over their bodies. And she wants them to be free from complaining about every little indisposition. You know, in her wisdom, Saint Teresa observes that one of the defects of the body is that the more you give it, the more it requires. The more comfort we give to ourselves, the greater the needs for comfort we will discover within ourselves. And this is bad, because bodily self-indulgence can prevent spiritual progress. Again, don't forget the Teresian rule that a life of prayer and comfortable living do not go together. And so on page 65, Teresa makes the point that there's great virtue in learning not to complain. It's good for us to learn how to suffer life's little trials simply for the love of God without giving voice to them to others. And Teresa encourages us to keep secret some of the ills that God allows in our lives as a means of making reparation for our sins. Now, perhaps you're thinking St. Teresa sounds a bit harsh. But one of the things you have to remember about Teresa of Avila as you read chapter 11 is that she suffered a great deal throughout her life with illnesses and constant headaches. And yet her illnesses never really seemed to interfere in any meaningful way with her work. She accomplished a great deal. And because of her own illnesses, St. Teresa was actually very compassionate toward those who were sick. In fact, there's a footnote on the bottom of page 64 that tells us that whenever Teresa visited a convent, after visiting the Blessed Sacrament, she would go to visit any nuns who were sick. What we learn from Teresa is that being detached from the body and its comforts does not mean that we should be lacking compassion for those who are suffering physically. So, Teresa makes the disclaimer in paragraph 3 that she's not talking about serious illness in this chapter, but rather slight ailments. Indeed, when we see someone who is truly sick, we should do all we can to help them. In this chapter, Teresa is simply trying to help her spiritual daughters learn how to subdue the body with its desires for comfort. She wants them to be totally abandoned to God, even if that means enduring ill health and death. And we can see this practiced so well by other great Carmelite saints like Saint Therese of Lisieux, Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity, and Saint Teresa of the Andes. All of these women endured terrible physical sufferings, but they were totally given over to God. They didn't complain. They didn't seek attention. They simply endured. In fact, at the height of her illness with its really horrible suffering, Saint Elizabeth of the Trinity did not pray for her sufferings to be taken away, but just that God might give her the grace to bear them well. And so we should strive to endure well our physical pains and discomforts, and to take on bodily penances from time to time, and to do so without complaining, and as a means of resigning ourselves more fully to God, no matter what. Chapter 12 continues with our theme of detachment. Again, Saint Teresa's concern is to show her nuns how to walk the way of perfection. And while she addresses issues that may seem insignificant to others, she assures us that the little things matter. Now, this rule of life that Teresa's nuns were following sets them up for a life of exterior mortification. I mean, they gave up so many creature comforts. And Teresa readily admits how difficult it is to maintain the rigors of their way of life. Yet the interior mortifications that each person must take on in order to follow the way of perfection are even harder and more important. This interior mortification, Teresa tells us in paragraph 2, is acquired gradually through never following our own will or liking, even in the most trifling matters. She says, it's a matter of renouncing all care for ourselves and our own pleasure. And interior mortification makes everything else we do more meritorious and perfect. Moreover, St. Teresa makes the observation in paragraph 2 that the life of one who wishes to be an intimate friend of God is one long martyrdom. In fact, footnote 8 on page 68 tells us that Teresa's motto was either to die or to suffer. Now, the point here is that suffering, born with love for God, leads to sanctity. And this should give us some encouragement whenever we are enduring something difficult. If we can just bear our sufferings well, with patience and fortitude, and to offer our sufferings in union with Christ's sufferings, this makes us holy. And we practice carrying the cross simply by going against our self-will, especially when we do it interiorly. So, for example, you know, it's one thing to fast from sweets or some other treat that we enjoy. It's much more difficult and efficacious to mortify ourselves interiorly through obedience to superiors or by keeping silent in moments in which we wish to air our opinions. As I mentioned, learning to cross our will, St. Teresa tells us, is a gradual process. But if we stick with it and pray, eventually we shall reach the summit, she says. In paragraph 3, Teresa warns her nuns to be watchful over secret feelings, especially as concerns precedence or the privileges of rank. So Teresa lived in a time when honor was very, very important in their society. Rank was very important. And she says, any thoughts that we should be preferred to others because of seniority or age must be suppressed at once, because they can give rise to great evils in the convent. So we must learn to detach ourselves even from the respect that we believe we deserve from others. For the saint tells us that the person who wants to practice prayer with the genuine resolution to obtain the graces and joys God grants to souls is bound to be detached from everything. Now, of course, Teresa understands how difficult this can be for those who live in the world, because our surroundings influence us strongly. Yet if we maintain any attachment to worldly goods and honors, we will never attain the fruits of prayer, which are virtue and holiness. And so those of us who live lives of relative ease and comfort, those of us who have important roles and positions, must take care to foster detachment from worldly goods and honors that we could be in danger of just taking for granted. In the last few paragraphs of this chapter, Saint Teresa provides more insight into the workings of the devil, noting that he's careful about tempting those who are truly humble, for he knows he will likely fail, and thus wounding his pride. And so humility acts as a protection, an armor against the devil. And if we do suffer temptations against the virtue of humility, if proud thoughts arise in us, the saint has some practical counsels. She tells her sisters that they should first alert the prioress and volunteer for a menial task. She says to study how to subdue one's will in the things that one is averse to. So in other words, to force yourself to do something that you don't like. She also counsels doing some type of public penance. Now, while public penance may not be something we can readily practice in our lives, we can certainly take up some lowly chores and force ourselves to do things we don't like to do if we're tempted to be proud. Lastly, Saint Teresa insists that concerns for honor and rank will lead us away from the way of perfection, and this is not a small matter. So we cannot take those concerns lightly. And we have to be careful around those people who urge us to be offended when they see that we're slighted in some way. As we conclude this chapter, it's good for us to consider the words of Jesus in the 10th chapter of St. Matthew. He says, "Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." My friends, total detachment from everything is the true cost of discipleship. But the rewards we gain by being Christ's true disciples so far outweigh what we must give up. So that brings us to the end of day 6 in our study of the way of perfection. As always, thank you once again for listening and for joining me on this journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll pick up at chapter 13. And to finish, let's pray the famous prayer of Saint Teresa. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. May God bless you, and may Saint Teresa intercede for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Way of Perfection and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.